नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Just as the honeybee takes nectar from all flowers, big and small, an intelligent human being should take the essence from all religious scriptures. Report. In human society, the original knowledge is called Veda, and the essential part of Veda, or knowledge, is Krishna consciousness. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Vedaischa sarver aham eva vedya. From the honeybee, an intelligent human being should learn to take the essence or nectar of all knowledge. A honeybee does not waste its time trying to carry away an entire bush or garden, but rather takes the essential nectar. We may thus study the difference between the honeybee and the ass, who carries heavy loads. Education does not mean to become an intellectual ass carrying heavy loads of useless knowledge. Rather, one should accept the essential knowledge that leads to an eternal life of bliss and understanding. At the present time, people generally have a sectarian concept of religion, and yet there is no scientific understanding of the absolute truth. Such complacent, dogmatic, sectarian religionists can certainly learn something from the example of the honeybee given in this verse. Hare Krishna. Thank you for being with us today. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 8, entitled The Story of Pingala, Text Number 10. It is quoted in this purport from the Bhagavad Gita, Vedaischa sarver aham eva vidyo. Krishna tells that he is the compiler of the Vedas, he is the knower of the Vedas, by all Vedas. Ultimately, he is to be known. Sarva dharman purityaja mam ekam sharanam vraja. Abandon all varieties of dharma or religion. Just surrender to me. There's a beautiful verse in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna tells that the Vedas mainly deal with the three modes of material nature. One should rise above them and be situated in the true self. This is true of all the religious scriptures throughout history, mainly dealing with the three modes of material nature. How to elevate one's consciousness according to where one's particular entanglement in the three modes of nature may be, to somehow or other elevate one. But the purpose of it all is to bring one to this principle. The Srimad Bhagavatam, which we are reading today, is considered the commentary of Vedanta Sutra by the author himself. Vyasadeva, who is a literary incarnation of Krishna, or God himself, descended to compile these great histories of the Lord's incarnations and the greatest devotees throughout times in order to give direction to humanity. Four Vedas, Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, Sama Veda, Atharva Veda, 108 primary Upanishads, many other Upanishads, the Itihastas, or great history books, the Samhitas, the Puranas. Primarily, there are 8 Puranas, 6 to elevate people from the mode of ignorance to the mode of passion, 6 from passion to goodness, and 6 to raise one from the mode of goodness to the transcendental state of actual self-realization. He compiled the Mahabharata. After all this and so much more, he created the Brahma Sutra, which is to take the very essence of all that knowledge and to distill it in these sutras, or very succinct verses. But it is so concentrated that unless these sutras are expanded upon by great acharyas, it's very, very difficult for anyone to really understand. But it is the essence. It was then in Badrikashram on the banks of the Saraswati River that he was feeling, I've done all this for one reason only, to show compassion to the fallen condition of humanity, for the pleasure of Krishna. Why am I still feeling this emptiness in my heart? Narada Muni appeared then and explained that, yes, you have explained religion according to people's aspirations, artha, kama, dhamma, moksha, for sense gratification, economic development, religiosity, or even liberation. And you have certainly spoken the essence, but so much other information. He did it out of his pure compassion. But now you should write this literature, the Srimad Bhagavatam, which exclusively illuminates only that highest essence. And it begins with that concept. The sages of Naimasharanya are gathered for the benefit of all humanity. Kali Yuga has come, and they're seeing in the present, and they're seeing into the future how much quarrel and hypocrisy there will be on every level, within one's own mind. There'll be so much quarrel and hypocrisy, and that will extend to one's within the family, among friends and society, among races, nations, among castes or particular sectors of society in which people are born, among occupations, capitalism, communism, socialism, and ultimately even among religions. There will be profuse quarrel and hypocrisy. And quarrel and hypocrisy can only happen where there is this, I am right, you are wrong. These are the prominent qualities of Kali Yuga. How to raise humanity above them. We should be thoughtful. Why is the influence of Kali Yuga to create quarrel and hypocrisy? Because more than anything else, it is these qualities that destroy real dharma, real religion. It distracts people away from the true goal of life. What is our greatest enemy in Kali Yuga? We take shelter of that as our friend, this propensity for quarrel and hypocrisy. And in this sense, the sages of Naimisharanya saw, even in the name of religion or dharma, people will be distracted. People will be contaminated by the scriptures themselves on the basis of their misinterpretations of them. Unless they understand the essence. So they called upon Sutta Goswami specifically to speak the essence of all scripture. Sutta Goswami cites his experience at a very holy place called Shukatala on the banks of the Ganges. If you go there today, there's an ancient banyan tree. And under that tree, the king, Parikshit, approached Shukadeva Goswami with the vow to fast till death, just to hear the essence of life. He had 7 days to live. Now, 7 days, you really want to go to the essence. You don't have the time to discuss all the philosophies and all the rituals and all of the various logical assumptions that the Vedas give. He wanted the essence. And this is the questions he asked the great sages. Of all the great scriptures in the world, what is the essence? What is the prime duty for every human being? What is the duty of a person who is about to die? Such a setting. Now, there was ancient rishis that were present there on the Ganges bank. But among all of them, the rishis themselves chose Sukadeva Goswami, who was only 16 years old, who was the son of Vyasadeva, who was present, who was the disciple of Narada, who was present, whose associates like Parasara and Bhardraj and Vishwamitra were all present. Vishramicha had previously been the guru for Ramchandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But they chose Sukadeva Goswami, who really didn't have any disciples. He was just roaming around in the forest. He was a boy, teenager. But they understood, he had understood the essence. So he spoke. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it begins when the sages ask these questions to Suta Goswami. Srila Prabhupada cites that he immediately gives the answer. Savai pungsang paro dharmo yato bhaktir hokshaje. Ahoitaki apratihata yayatma suprasediti. The supreme dharma for all humanity is to engage in the loving devotional service, bhakti, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such loving service must be unmotivated by any egoism, by any selfishness, and uninterrupted by any circumstances that may come upon us. Only that dharma will satisfy the self, because that is the nature of the self. So great personalities who have understood the Srimad Bhagavatam are truly compassionate, because they want to taste the essence and they want to present the essence. And Krishna himself is giving this example of a honeybee. The flower, for the honeybee's purpose, the flower is the place to get nectar. But there's so many other things you could get from a flower. There's the stem, there's the so many petals, there's so many aspects of a flower. But for the honeybee, he's only focused on one thing, that every part of the flower is just there to provide nectar. Goes flower to flower, just extracting that nectar. In the purport, it explains that ass carries heavy, heavy loads, but the honeybee just goes right to the essence. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described that an actual true devotee of the Lord is Saragrahi, one who is only interested in the essence, who in every situation is seeking the essence. And that essence samsadhir haritoshanam is to please Krishna. Surrendering to Krishna, Sharanagati Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he has written many, many songs describing the characteristics and qualities of Sharanagati, of actual surrender to Krishna. Surrender means that whatever we do for the pleasure of the Lord, in harmony with the will of the Lord. And the Lord is Bhava Grahi Janardana. A devotee is Sarva Grahi, and Krishna is Bhava Grahi Janardana, which means he only seeks love. He really doesn't want anything else. Patram Pushpam Palam Toyam Yomi Bhakta Prayachchati. If you offer me even a leaf, a flower, a fruit, or water with devotion, I will accept that love. Duryodhana, in the Mahabharata, he offered elaborate gifts to Krishna. A beautiful throne. He offered fine foods, gifts of jewels and gold and silk. Krishna rejected it, because it was offered with selfishness. It was not offered with love. His motivation for offering these incredible gifts that were probably worth today millions and millions of dollars and more, his motivation was what he could get from it. But Vidura and his wife, they just offered a little banana. And Krishna accepted it as something of infinite value because it was offered with bhav, with love. And that is, it is this awakening of love that is the essence of all the great scriptures of the world. And all the rituals, all of the regulative principles, all of the philosophical explanations, all of the different types of mantras and yantras and tantras, everything on the path of bhakti is exclusively to help to awaken that love. And these various philosophical explanations and our rituals and ceremonies and our regulative principles and our moral principles, they are all of utmost importance as long as we understand them as being a means to help reach the essence. But the nature of Kali Yuga is we forget the essence. Even if we know it, due to the atmosphere, which is so infatuating to the false ego, that we take all of these things, all of these gifts, and we see it as something in and of itself. And when we don't focus on the essence, then these gifts of the various spiritual practices, we are vulnerable to use them actually to serve our egos. It's inevitable. If you're not focused on the essence, it's probably going to be used to serve your ego. And then the very thing that's supposed to create humility creates arrogance. The very thing that's meant to create love creates hate. The very thing that's meant to make you a mahatma, a broad-minded person, makes you a duratma, a very petty-minded person. It's not that it might happen. It's inevitable. It will happen. And that's why we require acharyas or gurus who actually keep all of these principles that are necessary, the varna and the ashram, rules and regulations and all other such things, to focus on the essence of pure unalloyed devotional service to Krishna. To always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. In a spirit of seva. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this was such a powerful emphasis in his teachings. He is the very embodiment of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Devananda Pandit was a scholar of the Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, he was the most famous scholar in all of Navadvipa. He could explain every verse of Srimad Bhagavatam in so many fascinating ways because he was really a philosopher. And he was very austere, very simple, very moral. He was a perfect gentleman from a worldly perspective. He didn't really have much material attachments as far as things. He was a Brahman. And when he explained Srimad Bhagavatam, he would mesmerize people. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard him and went running to say, "He is cheating. I will rip his Srimad Bhagavatam to shreds." And the devotees stopped him. And Devananda Pandit heard all that. And he's a very elderly scholar, and Nimai was just a boy. young man. But later, when Devananda Pandit rendered service to Vakreshwar Pandit, who was a great devotee of the Lord, and actually appreciated his chanting of the holy names and his dancing, and actually rendered service, his heart changed. Shushushoshudanasya Vasudeva Kataruji Syan Mahatsevaya Viprapundityaritanaseva. The Srimad Bhagavatam itself tells this, that he must have cited this verse so many times, but he didn't understand it. One gets a real taste for hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam only when you serve great people, when you serve person Bhagavatams. Srila Prabhupada gave this example. There is the book Bhagavatam and person Bhagavatam. Person Bhagavatam is one who lives by the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, when you connect with that love for Krishna that's dormant in your heart, as long as you're in this material world, that love manifests as compassion for all beings. In that beautiful song about Nityananda Prabhu, Bhaktivinoda Thakur tells that this was what Nityananda Prabhu taught. The essence, sarva dharma sar, the essence of all religion, of all dharma, is to develop a taste for the holy names, namaruchi. And what happens when that manifests? The essence of all religions is jivadoya, to feel genuine compassion for all living beings. The opposite of compassion is envy. Envy means we're putting ourself in the center of existence. It's about me. And we can't tolerate somebody doing better than me. Or we can't tolerate somebody who has something more than me. Envy can manifest in so many different gross and subtle ways. But compassion means that we're really everyone's well-wisher. We want to see everyone flourish. We want to see everyone with Krishna. We want to see everyone happy. What is that? Srila Prabhupada would cite that. Many times he would cite. Sarve Suketa Bhavantu. He said, this is the essence of all knowledge, all Vedas, and this is the heart of all great people. Let all beings be happy. And I remember when there was a marriage ceremony, and Prabhupada quoted this verse, may all beings be happy. This is the purpose of marriage. Now, in those days, that's not what we understood. That's not what our local leaders were teaching. But that's what Prabhupada was teaching. Every aspect of varna, ashram, every aspect of the philosophy, every aspect of devotional service is for people to become happy. And what is true happiness? It's when we just put Krishna in the center. That means we take our own egos out of the center and put Krishna in the center, and then we're happy. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was teaching Devananda Pandit, he said, well, actually, Devananda Pandit came before Lord Chaitanya, and he was actually really very, very ashamed to come before the Lord, because he had thought so little about Lord Chaitanya. He just thought he was a sentimentalist, just chanting, dancing, and he didn't give credibility to the devotees. But now that he served Vakreshwar Pandit, he understood the essence. And he came to beg forgiveness from Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya saw him at a distance and said, Devananda, come, because you serve Vakreshwar Pandit, I want to speak to you. I want to be with you. Lord Chaitanya praised Vakreshwar. And Devananda Pandit said, how should I explain Srimad Bhagavatam? People are coming to me to hear. Lord Chaitanya said, every syllable of every word, of every line, of every verse, of every chapter, of every canto of Srimad Bhagavatam only has one purpose. Ecstatic, unmotivated, uninterrupted, loving service to Krishna. That's how you should explain it. Go to the essence. His whole life he was explaining all the different stories and philosophies and lessons and rituals and rules and regulations, everything, but he was missing the essence. Like a honeybee that goes to a flower and, you know, just spends the whole day, the petals and the stem and the leaves and everything, but never knows that there's nectar inside. And ultimately, nothing else can give him any real satisfaction. It's only the essence that can give satisfaction to the soul, to the heart. All the other aspects of the scriptures are just there to, you know, satisfy our intellect, satisfy our senses. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was approached by Sanatana Goswami, this took place in Varanasi, which was the high seat of learning for the Vedantists. Sanatana Goswami, he asked him, please instruct me. Tell me what is the highest truth. I don't know anything. And Lord Chaitanya began his teaching by going right to the essence. Jivara Swarupoi Krishnadar Nityadas. That the soul, the true self, is eternally the loving servant of Krishna. That's the essence. Everything should be bringing us there. Lord Chaitanya, when he was young in Navadvip, it was the high seat of learning for Nyaya and all these other six systems of philosophy. The greatest scholars in the planet, people who knew rituals like you can't even imagine knowing rituals, people who could explain any word of Sanskrit in thousands of ways, people who would be having debates and arguments in such ways that would just absolutely mesmerize the public. And among all of them, there was Keshav Kashmiri. He was the Digvijay Pandit. He could completely crush into fine powder the pride of any other scholar. But all of them, they all missed the point. And they were all performing elaborate, incredible ceremonies and worship and rituals. They knew every technical detail. If you made one little mistake, aparad. Yes. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he told Keshav Kashmiri the same thing. Ultimately, all this Vedic knowledge, everything is only for the purpose of loving devotional service to Krishna. Pleasing Krishna. Saraswati herself approached, she chastised the Digvijay Pandit. That you know so much by my grace, but you have no idea what it's all for. So this is the only purpose of all knowledge, of all scriptures, is to become a humble, loving servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came to give us that essence. And in every possible way, he magnified it. He made Haridas Thakur the Namacharya. Haridas Thakur is an outcast. He's an untouchable. By the external forms of the Brahminical society, he wasn't even allowed to look at Vedic literatures because he wasn't qualified. He wasn't allowed in a temple. If he touched somebody, they would have to bathe before they went into a temple. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he loves Krishna, he's the Acharya. Because he has a taste for this chanting and he has genuine compassion, he's the Acharya. This was the repeated message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In Sri Rangam, famous story, that was the high seat of learning for the whole of South India. Every day in one courtyard, the greatest scholars in the land would come to discuss scriptures together and recite scriptures. Nobody there was reading newspapers. They weren't reading novels. They were all studying scriptures. 100%, nothing else. They were serious people. And they could just take any Sanskrit verse and describe it in so many different ways. And this is Sri Rangam, which is the high seat of learning for Vaishnavas. They weren't just smart to Brahmins. They were coming in the line of Ramanuja and Yamunacharya. Nath Muni, incredible people. They're all there studying. And there was that one simple man who was more or less illiterate. And he would just somehow or other, every day he would read all the 18 chapters of Bhagavad Gita. It would take him a long time because he would stumble through the verses. And these other scholars, Bhagavad Gita was such a simple scripture. They were going to the Agamas and the Upanishads and all of these high literatures. And he's just sitting there reading, just reciting Bhagavad Gita, and he's saying the words wrong. And when you say the wrong words wrong, they don't even mean the same things. That's the way Sanskrit is. You just do a long A instead of a short A. You just pronounce A instead of A, and it has a totally opposite meaning to the word. That's how technical Sanskrit could be. And he's like going, he's saying everything. He doesn't even know. And nobody paid any attention to him, except Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He saw the man's crying. He said, "Why are you crying?" He said, "What are you reading?" He said, "I'm reading Bhagavad Gita." He said, I don't understand the words. Sometimes I say it wrong, sometimes I say it right. My guru told me to read it every day, so I'm doing it. Because he wanted to please his guru. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasada. Krishna's pleased when we please a true guru. So Lord Chaitanya was very impressed. You don't care what all these people around you, you're making, by a material level, he's making a fool out of himself in front of everybody. And this is not just regular people. These are exalted people. But I'm just trying to please my guru. So Lord Chaitanya was so happy because that's the essence. Samsidhyar Haritoshanam, to please Krishna. We please Krishna by pleasing his loving devotees. That's the essence. Lord Chaitanya was deeply impressed by that. He said, "Why are you crying if you don't understand the words?" He said, "Because as I'm reading, I'm seeing Krishna in my heart. I'm just meditating on this form of Krishna who has a beautiful dark complexion. who's driving the chariot for his devotee Arjuna and teaching and speaking the Gita out of his love. Lord Chaitanya was so pleased because he was just trying to please Krishna by pleasing his guru. Krishna was revealing himself in his most intimate form within his heart, even though he wasn't even saying anything right. Lord Chaitanya lifted him up and with his long golden arms embraced him and said, "You are the true knower of the Bhagavad Gita." And Lord Chaitanya revealed himself to be Krishna to that person. And not only that, the whole 4 months Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Srirangam, he gave constant association to that person. Why is that story in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita? Why is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu giving such profuse attention to that person? Because he's Bhavagrahi Janardana. Because he's only attracted by love. Vidaishta Saravaraham Eva Vidyo. Because he wanted to teach what is the essence. Srila Prabhupada gave so many examples. He talked about one lady. Yamuna Devi knew her. She talked. In her new book that's soon to come out, she talks about this lady. She even knows her name. But when Prabhupada was living at Radha Damodar Temple, Yamuna Devi used to associate with this lady because Prabhupada talked about her. When Prabhupada was living there before he came to America, he would sit in his rooms and this one widow who basically was a homeless widow living in Vrindavan. She had no money, she had nobody to take care of her, but every day she would bring a little bucket of Yamuna water and put it next to the altar for Radha Damodar's bathing. Early every morning she would just carry that water and leave it there and then go away. And the pujaris would just come out and pick up the water and bring it in. Nobody even thanked her. But Srila Prabhupada took such note of her devotion. She wasn't getting anything from anyone, but she was experiencing the deepest satisfaction of the soul because she was just offering a little water to Krishna. That's all she had to offer. She had no possessions, but the water is there for everyone. Any one of us could go and get a bucket of water from the river and bring it. Doesn't cost anything. Everyone in this room is probably much physically stronger than her to carry it. But Prabhupada explained she attained the perfection of life. She understood the essence of all scriptures. She probably didn't even have an education because she wanted to please Krishna with love. As a servant of the servant of the servants. She didn't even put the water on Krishna directly. She gave it to somebody to bring in to the pujaris. Similar to Duki, who was bringing water for the Abhishek of Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya saw her just a simple maid servant. "What is her name?" "Her name is Duki." Lord Chaitanya said, no. Her name is now Suki. Duki means miserable one. Suki means happy one. But he didn't just give her a name. He gave her ecstatic bliss, paramananda, the highest happiness of the spiritual world. He gave her because she understood the essence. We have our Malati Devi. Srila Prabhupada explains how many times he cited many great powerful sannyasis who had such Vedantic authority. They went to England to try to establish pure Dharma. And they did something. He said, and here are these hippies just a couple years before. He said, they're married people. He said, they don't even know that much about, you know, the technicalities of the scriptures or the rituals or the rules or the regulations. They've only been devotees a couple years, coming from Western countries. And they established Krishna consciousness. They established the highest Dharma in such a powerful way in London. Why? Because Prabhupada taught them the essence. Just chant Hare Krishna. Krishna's a person. You're not this body. You're an eternal soul. And Krishna is the supreme, absolute, all-loving, all-attractive personality from whom everything is emanating. And to love Krishna is the goal of life. And we develop love of Krishna through bhakti, through unmotivated devotional service to please Krishna. And the greatest way to practice bhakti is to associate with devotees, to hear about Krishna and to chant his holy names. They didn't really know that much more than that. Yes, Malati Devi, that's about it. I don't even know if you knew that much. But you knew that. They just understood the essence from Prabhupada, and they were transforming people's lives, even leaders of society. And Prabhupada was so proud. He was so pleased. So yes, when we allow our attention to go astray from the essence, then we start clinging on to particular political, or I wasn't planning to say that, but it came out anyway. We come to philosophical explanations. And then, you know, when we are talking about those philosophical explanations without understanding what is the essence and purpose of that those philosophies are trying to bring us to, then we can create so many ideologies and argue and hate each other forever and be distracted by our arguments and our heaviness of heart toward each other, birth after birth. We could go so much into the external form of the rituals that on the basis of the rituals, we commit offenses. I remember when we were living up in the old Vrindavan farm, one very senior person came to visit New Vrindavan. And devotees, the brahmacharis, we were pretty rustic type of creatures up there, actually. Living in the mud, but we were trying our best to do some service. So this sannyasi comes in during arti, the evening arti, and all the brahmacharis, because we never got sannyasis coming up there. It was really rare, because who wants to go up that road? You have to walk up 3 miles of mud. So this one sannyasi comes in and everyone bows down to him and he starts screaming. It's an offense to bow down to anyone in front of the deities. It's an offense. And we were all mortified, like, oh God, you know, he was so angry with us. Everyone was like running away practically, feeling like we were going to go to hell because we bowed down to somebody. And I was shy, but I was thinking, it's also said it's an offense to chastise anyone in front of the deities. But I was thinking, which is, the essence is what pleases Krishna. What is Krishna going to be more disturbed by? Somebody who's mortifying innocent people who don't know the exact etiquette? Or somebody who's bowing down to a senior devotee in the wrong place? Yes, so we both made offenses. Well, which is a worse offense? To chastise and break the hearts of innocent people because they did some little transgression? Or to bow down to a senior in the wrong place? What is the essence? Srila Prabhupada said, if I taught you everything about the rules and regulations of Vaishnava, he said, I've only given you, he's like 1%. He said, if I taught you everything, you would faint. But he was very pleased because we were understanding the essence, and he wanted us to broaden our scope of how we perform our rituals and our worship ceremonies. And he wanted us to broaden our understanding of philosophical explanations and various of the details of rasa tattva, of guru tattva, of Krishna tattva, of jiva tattva, Maya Tattva. He wanted us to go deep in that, but all for the purpose of serving the essence. And Prabhupada said, even if you can't understand any of these things, you'll still attain the same perfection if you just chant Hare Krishna. Trinadapi Sunichena Taror Ibasihishna Amani Namanadena Kirtaniya Sadaha. This verse of being forgiving and humble and giving respect to others and not demanding it for ourselves. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all of our acharyas considered this to be essential. Kirtaniya Sadahari, to chant the holy names. If we don't imbibe that spirit, then whatever else we learn, it's just, it can attract the world like a beautiful monument, but there's no foundation. Krishna is not pleased. Sam Siddhir Hari Toshana. Our only success is to please Krishna. That is the essence. To develop a taste for the holy name, and to be an instrument of true compassion for all beings. This Nityananda Prabhu taught is the essence of all the scriptures. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much. Let us try to, like honeybees, try to find that essence in each other. Try to find that essence in every circumstance that comes in our life. If we find it in the scripture, if we seek it in the scripture, we'll find it. If we seek other things that we want to utilize for our own selfish or ego, you're going to find that too. Nikama kalpa taro galitam palam. That the Vedas are like a tree that anything you want, you can get from it. Any conception you want higher planets, you want better sex life, you want better money, you want better power, you want better miraculous abilities, you want better health, you can get anything from the Vedas. But that's not what they're for. They'll give you that if that's what you ask for. But if you seek Krishna, Krishna will reveal himself. If you seek prema, Krishna will give prema. And if we seek it in the scriptures, then we'll seek it everywhere. We'll seek it in everyone. We'll seek it in everything. We'll seek it in every circumstance. And that's how we advance. If we're seeking ecstatic love for Krishna, pleasing Krishna through our devotion, then if we're successful, we find it there. If we materially fail totally, we find it there. If we're honored, we find it there. If we're totally blasphemed, we find it there. If we're healthy and running laps around mountains, we'll find it there. And if we're sickly on our deathbed, we'll find it there. If it's hot or cold, we'll find it everywhere if we're seeking the essence, because Krishna will reveal it. But if we're just seeking some way to just somehow or other prove that I'm better than you, you're going to find that too, wherever you go. So let us chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Srila Prabhupada describes, what is Vrindavan? Where everything and everyone just wants to make Krishna happy. That's Vrindavan. And New Vrindavan is where, that's our calling. Whatever we do, we have no agenda, we have no ulterior motive. We sincerely just want to make Krishna happy. Thank you very much. Yes, Nityodita Prabhu.
And then you see that Bhakti Siddhartha started building in her mind Bhakti Siddhartha. He presented so much knowledge. He was such a good comprehensive. For us, then see Prabhupada, he spoiled Bhakti Siddhartha's Swami's presentation to have to something that we were able to take. This process of bringing out the essence. It's an eternal process. So going down throughout
the eternal process in the Vaishnav school to focus on the essence. And the great souls elaborate on that essence endlessly, but it's always to bring us to the essence. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered the six Goswamis to write these literatures. And Sanatana Goswami, particularly, along with Rupa Goswami, they brought an entire library of religious scriptures in all Vedas. They had a massive library. And they took, like the honeybee, they took the nectar, the essence of bhakti ras from every one of them. And that's what their literatures do. They'll explain Krishna and they'll explain pure devotional service and they'll cite from so many Upanishads and Agamas and Samhitas and other literatures because they've just taken that essence and given it to us in that pure form. And then others elaborate on that. That was what the six Goswamis did. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, during the British time, the academic people were actually ruling over the whole educational system. The British academia was ruling over the whole educational system for India, and to a large extent, the whole world. So in order to get the respect of these people, to take what this essence, to receive it, because this is part of compassion. to make that essence relevant so that people actually respect it enough to open their heart to receive it. That's compassion. It's like you could have a good medicine, but if the child doesn't want to take the medicine, then what good is having good medicine if the person doesn't take it? The mother can say, well, I have the best medicine, and I presented it to the child. Another mother says, well, did they take it? No, that's his problem. But I gave him the best medicine. Prabhupada said, put it in a laddu. Tell him it's not medicine. Just tell him it's a laddu. Get him to take it. So what's the use of the best thing if people are not accepting it? So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he understood these kinds of... Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas just so that the people who were envious of him would listen to him. There was no need for him to take sannyas. He had already made the vast majority of Navadvipa pure devotees. He was with Srivas and Gadadhar and Advaitacharya and Haridas Thakur and Kolavacha Sridhar and all these people he was having kirtan with practically day and night. He already marched to Chankazis and made the governor of the whole province a great devotee, and all the laws were in his favor now. Why did he take sannyas? So that these hard-hearted logicians and others would listen to him. If he had that position, they would listen. Otherwise, they wouldn't. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati knew, in that time of the British academia, unless you speak very high English, they're not going to take what you say seriously. So he spoke really high English. And they listened to him. And if you see the kinds of people that he transformed and made into devotees, they were like really high Brahminical scholars. He just took that essence and presented it in a way that would really be respected, honored, and received. And Srila Prabhupada, he took that same essence, the exact same teaching as it is, and presented it for the more common people of the world. For we could and we see how so many millions of people's hearts have been transformed. And he wanted devotees who were even just devotees for a year or two, to write for Back to Godhead. Take that same essence and put it in your language, because it will reach certain types of people. Is that what you were asking? I asked him, is that what you asked? And he said, no, but it was good. So please explain, give a commentary of what it means. No, but that was good. Please.
I have a question.
Yes, yes.
It seems like you see a lot in the devotional community that there is argument about what is the essence.
Mm.
Some devotees think that to wear Indian clothes is essential. Some devotees think that in order to become a spiritual master, it's essential that you need a particular body type. So how do we collectively, as a community, as a society, seek essence without fighting about it?
Did you hear that? How as a society do we stop fighting like dogs about what is the essence? Well, there's good dogs and bad dogs. It's important that we sit down together with the proper characteristic of respect for each other, with our differences, to actually sit down and nasta prayishu padreshu, study the Srimad Bhagavatam nicely. And actually share the essence with one another. Essentially, we have to rise above our ulterior motives. In the true sense, Prabhupada defines a Vaishnava as one who is seeking the essence, who has no envy, who just wants to please Krishna. There will always be differences. In the spiritual world, there's differences. Prataparudra was a king. Kulavecha Sridhar was a poverty-stricken banana leaf seller. There was a difference in their occupational duties. That story in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Ashwatthama kills the children of Draupadi. Arjuna catches Ashwatthama. Bhima, who's the father of one of those children? Bhima says, kill him immediately. Draupadi, who's the mother, she said, no, no, don't hurt him. Because he's the only son of Kripi, who's the wife of our guru. And I know what it's like. I'm feeling the unbearable pain of losing my only children. If we kill him, then his mother is going to feel the same pain as me. She's a respectable lady. She shouldn't suffer. Let him go. Forgive him. Bhima said, no, kill him. And Arjuna's standing between his wife and his older brother. Who would you listen to? Huh? And they both, because Bhima is seeing from the perspective of a kshatriya. And he was right. Justice should be met. That's the kshatriya dharma. And Draupadi is seeing it from the perspective of a mother. Mataji dharma. She was right. So which is right? And Arjuna was kind of like a GBC meeting or something. Arjuna's, and Krishna told him, you should make both of them happy. Kill him, but don't kill him. And he gave him a very strange haircut, which embarrassed him. And embarrassing a kshatriya is worse than death. But for the mother, she doesn't care if he's embarrassed as long as he's alive. But we find here, these are both great pure devotees of the Lord. They have different opinions. We're going to have so many opinions according to our experiences in life, according to our natures, according to our particular services. And Prabhupada, and there's many purports where Prabhupada explains that there will always be differences of opinion among devotees. That's natural. It's dynamic. But we should arise above enmity and envy and arrogance. We should deal with these differences with respect. Understanding, if the differences are actually based on trying to please Krishna.
Thank you very much.